Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. It's kind of hard to describe Katie Gately's music. It's experimental, but accessible, and full of wildly inventive sound design. For example, on her new album called Loom, you will hear the highly processed sounds of earthquakes and screaming peacocks and even her own parents' wedding. It makes for fascinating listening, and Katie Gately is here to play some songs from Loom for us today. This first one is called Allay.
Like a soldier and dance like a fool. book, so I know it might be possibly true. Your heart is the start of the story of the only you. So never, ever let anyone tell you. Never, ever let anyone tell you. Never, ever let anyone tell you. Never, ever let anyone tell you that you're doomed.
That is Katie Gately live here in our studio with a song called Allay, which you will find on the new album entitled Loom, an album that is full of often, Katie, sounds that you would never guess what their sources were. This was, for you, a pretty transparent performance.
Yeah.
Your voice, the keyboards. People who are not watching our live stream might have wondered who the male voice was, but that was just you pitch shifted, right?
Yeah. I wanted to try something different with this song because it sort of has a negative, there's a negative narrator. The narrator was cancer. Mm. And so when I got to the middle of the song, I was like, you know what? I think I want to make this kind of turn on its head and have it be kind of jazzy and playful. But I typically do a lot of pitch shifting to my voice in the computer. And here I just have a kind of simple hardware pedal, gives me one or two octaves down, which can feel very growly and fun.
Right. And so the idea of cancer as the narrator of a song sort of goes to the way this album came about, because I understand this was not the album you intended to make.
Yeah, I was going to make a bit of a more upbeat record, more beats and major keys.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
And I was working on a bunch of songs, and this the song called Waltz and a song called Bracer felt a little too dark for that group. And I had just been starting working on them right around this time when my mother fell ill with cancer. And I felt like, oh, I actually need to lean towards this darker vibe. And then I put all the other tracks together around those songs.
And so the album is dedicated to your late mom.
Yeah.
And there is, I mean, it's got a dark cast to it, but also has some unusual and kind of dark sound sources. I mean, I mentioned in introducing you earthquakes, the screaming peacocks, but also a coffin lid and meat being hit, being struck. Are you you're familiar with Scott Walker's music?
Yeah, and there's a great documentary about
that's right.
The Drift. I remember seeing that. This was way before I was making music, and he was in the studio. I think he was stabbing things, and
he had like a big slab of meat, and he's like pounding, hitting it with his fists or mallets and stuff, and sampling those sounds.
And that whole record is so stark, and the Drift. I mean, that record really influenced me since I heard it. But I listened to it while making my record. Those sort of Foley ideas that come from film, I love it when they're used by musicians, because you can get such power out of just anything lying around in your home or your studio.
So do you go around constantly recording things, or do you find these sounds somewhere else?
I often will find sounds when I'm not looking for them. Like my aunt has an amazing toilet that squeals. And I'm giving her a shout out.
Wow.
Which is sort of annoying and embarrassing in your house if you have a crazy. But to me, I'm like, please never fix it. And so stuff like that you can't predict. Actually, old toilets are some of the best vocalizers.
but see, you're avoiding a direct answer to my question. Are you in there in the bathroom on the toilet with a recording device?
Yeah, and I've been caught in public where it was a group bathroom, and I got a completely appropriate look from a woman like, you're nuts. But you got to chase the sounds if they're good. So
yeah. So, some of the sounds the coffin lid, dirt being dug, are a little on the nose for given the backstory of the record. But then, or they would be on the nose, except you've processed all of these things. So, you know, listening to it and even knowing in advance, okay, this is the song that has the peacocks in it, I can't always tell. I mean, and that's
I can't either.
Okay.
I think I forget where things are at times.
So it's, is it a way of kind of tricking or triggering the creative process? And then once you have that going, you can mold the sound so it actually fits what you've done?
Exactly. I think often a sound just triggers an idea for like a world or a room to be. It's very visual. So I'll hear the sound and then think, oh, that belongs in a story. A song story, I guess. And then the first thing that may have tripped off the whole song could end up being obscured or mm-hmm. taken out later. But for the inspiration, I would say those kinds of found sounds, are, I would say they start, 90% of my songs start with those kinds of sounds.
So you mentioned like Foley, like sound design for films. Have you done that sort of work?
I did it in film school because I went to school for sound for film, and it was my favorite thing that we learned there. And I still do it on small projects I work on, just like in my house. I don't have a real studio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when you do full, you have a huge collection of ridiculous objects around your house. I have a Tupperware that looks like a serial killer's collection of just rubber gloves. And so I think Foley is real fun.
Well, and certainly leads you in unexpected sonic directions. But there is, of course, another part of your music, and that's the voice. And it's not always your voice that we hear on Loom. There are three pieces that kind of, at the beginning, middle, and end of the record, that are sort of voice as instrument studies.
Yeah, there's samples. They're sort of synthesized voices from this plugin I use that lets you use these voices, and some people have thought it's my voice, which I'm flattered by because I think they're pretty voices.
They are.
But there is something about melding someone else's voice that my brain at least goes in different places because it doesn't feel personal,
mm-hmm.
so I can kind of just throw it around.
These are all wordless voices, these
yeah.
three pieces. But, you know, neuroscientists tell us that it's not the text, it's the sound of the voice that triggers a different listening pattern in the brain. So, yeah, I mean, once you use the voice, doesn't matter if it's no language or a language you don't understand or a language you've spoken since birth, something different happens to the way you listen as
yeah.
opposed to instrumental music.
Completely. I mean, instrumental music can do things the vocal music can't do as well.
Right.
But you're right. Once I hear a voice, there is the sense that there is a person sort of right by me, sort of singing right into my ear.
Well, now, you mentioned that you started off on this other record, but you had already written both Bracer, which we heard a few seconds of at the top of the session, and Waltz.
Yeah, Waltz I had started, and Bracer 2, they weren't done. And
okay.
I actually had the luck of performing versions of them that were quite not completed for my mom
mm-hmm.
before she passed because she was able to see me play. So, yeah, the way they are now is pretty different. The endings got kind of more fully developed.
Well, and Waltz is, I mean, it is in 3/4 time, but it's kind of a strange, grotesque sort of waltz.
Yes.
Intentionally so. I mean, I don't mean that. I mean that.
No, that's
kind
a compliment.
Yeah. So you want to play it for us?
Yeah.
Right now, Katie Gately is here with us in our new sound studio for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. And let's hear a live version of a song called Waltz. Thank you. That is Katie Gately, live in our studio, riding the Calliope from Hell. That is Waltz from her album called Loom. And yes, a genuine waltz. But Katie, what when you listen just to the 1, 2, 3, what is the sound, like crashy sound, that provides one of the beats in the waltz rhythm?
I think it's a basket being dropped.
Yeah, okay. If someone goes online and just searches Katie Gately, the first thing they'll see is the little tag for your website, and it says Katie Gately, sound designer and music producer. Doesn't say singer, doesn't say songwriter, sound designer. Is that how you see what you do?
I mean, I think it shows that I don't update my website enough. Yeah, I need to work on that. I think I have always felt some hesitation calling myself something I don't have like a degree in, which I really don't hold that standard to anyone else.
Yeah, really. I mean, how many people out there singing and song? How many rappers have degrees in hip hop?
I know. It's ridiculous, but I think because I studied sound in school, I feel like I legitimately can call myself that. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a singer because it's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I also didn't study music technically formally, so I feel some respect towards people who actually did calling themselves musicians. It's tricky. The labeling kind of gets figured out by the press, and they tell you what you are, even if you're in denial about it. You have to face the truth.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're singing and you're writing songs. That would, in most people's books, make you a singer and a songwriter. But, you know, you're also very close. I mentioned hip-hop. You're also very close in the way you use samples to the way hip-hop beat makers work. I don't know if you've had any experience, you know, in that end of the musical spectrum.
I haven't, but I've, like, watched tutorials of, like, Timbaland's, like, amazing production. Like, just amazing sort of hard panning of all these, like, little vocal sounds and stuff. He does amazing stuff that I don't think a lot of other people do. And when I first started teaching myself to produce, I was looking at actually a lot of hip-hop producers, just their techniques, you know, yeah. Where are they panning things? How do they treat a snare? And
well, now, and those are the types of things that audiophiles will like rush to listen to. It's like, oh, where is she panning this in the stereo field? How much high end has she rolled off of the cymbals and the snares? And when you listen to something on an MP3, you know, through your computer speaker, all of that stuff goes away. Is that frustrating for you as someone who works so closely with, on a granular level with sound, that most people don't actually hear that?
I know. You know what? I think it isn't frustrating for me just because I know it's there, and I make music because I have compulsive obsessive tendencies. Like, I'm doing all this crazy work that often I know people won't hear, but I need to do it for myself. Yeah. So as long as, you know, Apple doesn't release computers that suddenly the whole mid-range is missing, which they're not doing, I think that the laptops are getting better and better sounding.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is profound when you hear like a subwoofer of a song you only heard off little headphones or MacBook. Yeah.
The album is called Loom, and you know, given the story of, you know, your mom getting this cancer diagnosis, terminal cancer, there's that kind of looming specter that was hanging over her and by extension you during the making of this. But there's another meaning of loom, and that is, you know, the tool that weavers use.
Yes.
And you are really, I mean, we talked a little bit about the sound design, the voices. There's another thread that gets woven through, and those are the actual instruments, which in your case are not electric guitars and electric basses, and but viola and harp and bassoon. And so where does that come from?
You know, I think I like to tell my husband that I put the word poser in the word composer. Because I love classical music, and I just, the sound of a cello just brings me to my knees. But I, very young, realized I don't have any talent for really playing instruments. And I've sort of pretend I play the keyboard, but I don't have any, my fingerings are insane. I just am really drawn to those instruments. How could you not be? It's they're so beautiful, and they're designed to be so perfectly resonant and beautiful. And so when I started to be able to find samples that were pretty decent quality, I thought, well, I process my voice, I process coffin lids. I might as well process real instruments and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, we were talking before about Scott Walker, the American pop star who moved to England and became the creator of these dense, brooding soundscapes. And, you know, that was the yin and yang of his music, was this guy who had a natural gift for melody, but who really wanted to make something dark. And it sounds like you're kind of plowing the same furrow as he did.
Yeah, I mean, I love people with careers like that, because it shows you that we're not just interested in one kind of genre as artists. As people, any fan will be like, yeah, I'm listening to Dolly Parton in the morning and then maybe some Slayer in the evening or whatever. So yeah, it's great to have kind of role models like that, because I love his whole spectrum of work. And I think the dark is very important to navigate, especially if life gets dark.
Right. So we're talking with Katie Gately about the new album called Loom. This next song is called Flow. And does the album have a kind of narrative flow to it? Does it tell a story with these three framing devices that are sprinkled through?
Yeah, I think I wanted this you know, Alay is at the beginning and it's narrator's cancer and it's kind of starting this dark story. And by the end with Flo, it's a sad song, but it's also, the point is to keep on going, you know. And the song that follows it, which is one of those vocal and sort of instrumental, but vocal pieces, is the most major, you know, has the most major key vibe.
It leaves us in a very kind of ethereal and even perhaps with a sense of resolution, you know. It leaves us in a very different place from where we've started.
Yeah, that was important to me, that I didn't just make a record that was like, and it's all bad, bye-bye, you know, like, peace.
Right.
No, because things get better, and I've recovered from the grief of my mother's passing, and I'm alive and grateful to be here, so I'm feeling really good.
All right. Well, let me send you down that rabbit hole again, though, and Katie Gately's going to play a song called Flow. Once again, the new album is called Loom from Katie Gately. Live here in our New Sound studio on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast.
Just as you let yourself go, I'll be a shape outside your windowsill, and just as you shake your head no, be a paleo force to swallow whole, hungry for what they call flow, hungry for what they call flow. And if your need, if your knees shake, it means you are awake. And if your hands, if your hands sweat, well, no one can tell. But I won't let you hurt yourself no more. No, I won't let you hate yourself no more. 'Cause I'm hungry for what they call flow. Yeah, I'm hungry for what they call said, run, run, run from the wall. Ain't got no room left in his hall. I called the house of the Lord. I called the house of the Lord. I called the house of the Lord. Choose light. roaring, sifting and sorting on the story that it's got. Here's my heart, sipping and soaring, hunting and hoarding for a home that it has not. Here's my heart, mincing and missing, and blessing and undressing a love that I have sought. Here's my heart, bolting through the molten and weeping like a weapon for the one that I have lost, for the one that I have lost, for the one that I have lost.
Once again, Katie Gately, live in our studio. The song is called Flow from her new album, Loom, although that, Katie, is a somewhat different sounding version of Flow from what we get on the record.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that you are a one-woman band here with your rig and your gear and your pedals, it's not a kind of band-in-a-box thing. This is a live experience for us and for you, right?
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. I was going to say, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah. I think it feels like a great challenge. Like, I've actually spent my whole life being really afraid of performance and somehow kind of forcing myself to really do it and push myself to do more than the least required.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the best way to like grow your confidence, I think. Even when things go wrong, you're like, well, something went wrong and I was trying for more, you know?
Right, right. So as you mentioned earlier, you were setting down one path sonically, making one record when life intervened and you ended up making this record instead. What has happened to those initial batches, that initial batch of songs? What's going to happen with those?
I don't know. I'm at the point where I'm worried I need to like create a second artist name because there can be such a crazy like gap between some of the styles I like to explore. I love pop music. I love really fun, bouncy music. And I want to keep doing that. But then I have stuff that really would outshoot from this record well, too.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when you try to split the difference and do both at once, it's like it just sounds like kind of stew.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what I'll do next. I do want to, everything I like, I'd like to release eventually in some manner.
Well, Loom is an unsettling experience, but I mean, it's a really provocative and, as I said in introducing you, a fascinating recording to kind of live through. And I'm really grateful, Katie, that you were able to come in and play some of it for us live today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with everything we do on the Soundcheck podcast at newsounds.org.